internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and...
Yeah, why do you sound so awful?
I'm sick.
What? You get sick? I think I've seen you sick maybe three times.
It doesn't happen very often, but last night I was taking a shit playing Sog Pop, and I just started just shivering uncontrollably.
And not the shit shivers?
Not the shit shivers.
The shivers that let you know you've done a good job.
your body quivers and thinks. So there may be sounds of me blowing my nose or coughing or just sounding, there you go. You guys know, but I'm here recording for the Tadpog Nation.
Your trooper.
My other interesting fact.
Yes, or funny statement.
Throughout middle school, high school, some of college, until I met Meg, I essentially lived in the friend zone. I was friend zoned by a lot of girls. Are you familiar with the friend zone?
I am familiar with the friend zone. I'm trying to think of something that I can reference it to put in the show notes.
Reddit. Oh, yeah, they have a lot of friend zone memes.
Where did that come from? I think the first time I ever remember hearing it was on Scrubs.
That could be it.
I don't know if that's the origin.
Yeah, I don't know where it starts.
And I'm Dave, your bespectacled host. And as Tyler knows, and several of our listeners know, I have a Welsh Corgi. But what you may not know is that this Welsh Corgi is a mimic. And I say that because...
That's his class. That's his Final Fantasy job.
That's his Final Fantasy job. Back when Nikki and I were first dating, and she's in the other room right now, so I haven't run this story by her, but if she busts through, then we'll know it's not okay.
So the big gap in editing goes from this to, so what are you playing this week? And she didn't approve.
That's right. So when we were first dating, I got Ein, my corgi, in addition to a few cats, because I'm an animal person. I like having a lot of pets. Mm-hmm. Well, Ein was always interested in what we were doing. He was always a really curious puppy, and he was especially curious whenever Nikki and I would have sex. So, you know that Chappelle Show, Real World episode?
Probably my favorite one, yes.
Where Charlie Murphy's like watching the white guy have sex and he's masturbating in the corner. That's pretty much what Ein was. Except he would come right up to the edge of the bed and he'd rest his chin on the edge of the bed and just watch. And Nikki, it always made Nikki feel uncomfortable. I don't know why. But so one night we're being intimate from behind because, you know, we're living in sin. Why should we face each other? And Ein comes and does his thing and sets his chin on the bed, and she's not into it. So I'm like, okay, I get rid of him. I shoo him out of the room and then go back to it. And a couple minutes later, I look over and he had snuck back in the room. And he's got one of the cats pinned down, and he's just grinding away, looking directly at me. Like, I look over, and we, like, make eye contact. So there's a weird story.
So did you finish or what?
Jesus Christ, Tyler. There's just some things you don't talk about on a podcast. Before we get into this episode where we're talking about Out of This World.
The game, not the TV show.
IGN.
That could be a Manpog episode where they just talk.
I like it. What is this, IGN's 69th ranked Super Nintendo game? That's why I told a sex story.
Okay.
I want to apologize to all of our listeners who use the podcast app for iPhone, because if you depend on that app, you probably either didn't get to hear last week's Populous episode, or you had to go somewhere else to listen to it. And that's because the podcast app is garbage.
Yep.
The feed was right. I just put Megalixir's awesome cover of Moves in the public directory on our file server. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, it decided to pull from that public directory and nowhere else. Even after I removed the song from the public directory, then it just decided to give a download error for anyone who tried to listen to the show. I even tried reposting the episode twice, and it still didn't take. So if you rely on that app still, I hope that you can hear this episode.
I like the OneCast app that you can get. That's what I use when I listen to our show.
I haven't used OneCast. I think that's like Droid specific.
Is it Droid specific? Okay.
Because I've heard good things from you and Blake about it. So I tried finding it on the Apple App Store and I couldn't. Mm-hmm. So, also, we're going to be at Dragon Con, buddy.
Yeah, we are.
When?
What?
Like 2 days after this episode drops.
I'm looking forward to all my friends just getting drunk and us walking around Dragon Con. Because last year, I think one of my favorite times was all of us out in the lobby. Well, whatever the lobby is for our floor in the Hilton. And Nicole Nance had downed an entire of like the large Arbor Mist.
Right.
That is a little tidbit about her. She loves our strawberry Arbor Mist, the Kool-Aid that gets you drunk.
Right. The super slurp.
Yep. Ended up making my wife very frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Challenging me to a fight.
Yep. She could see reflections off the windows and kept screaming about how their Star Trek costumes were inaccurate.
Which I declined that fight, but I shouldn't have.
Nope.
I should have beat her ass.
While Josh just watched in pleasure and pain. Just.
Don't you interfere, Josh. So what have you been playing this week, Tyler? Song pop
while getting sick. This week at work, the kitchen manager that takes the brunt of the hours was gone this week. So I worked way more than I've worked in a long time this week. So I didn't play anything but Out of This World.
You played real life Cooking Mama.
Yep. Yep. I listened to a lot of podcasts and I started Emperor of Thorns.
Okay.
So yeah, you were right about that title. And because I would just sit there and I'd have to prep. I bet I cut down 40 pounds of lamb just listening to podcasts and books. I'm enjoying the series, but my review of King of Thorns was great fantasy novel. I love the dark character, Jorg, but throwing in all the modern day elements, I don't dig. But Emperor of Thorns, whatever I've read on our books, that it has just like one of the best endings of a fantasy series. Like everyone just loves the ending, so... What have you been playing?
I like to think that the ending of Emperor of Thorns just like segues into Police Academy somehow.
Best ending ever.
Everyone loves it. They're like, oh my God, this is brilliant.
Jorg finds a textbook about the Jewish religion and changes his name to Steve Gutenberg.
I've been playing a lot, man. I've been playing more Fire Emblem, Fire Emblem: Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Josh of Uniracer's fame and of non-interfering with me and his wife facing off in the deathmatch fame, he gave me a few tips on how to keep my weaker units alive in battles.
Yeah.
So I've been less frustrated playing the game. There's a way. It kind of sucks because I don't like grinding in games. And in order to keep everyone alive, you pretty much have to grind the shit out of the game.
Yeah.
To keep everyone's level above like the curve. So that kind of sucks, but the upside is I really do like the combat, and I like how the mechanics work in the battle, so it doesn't feel too grindy.
Mm, okay.
Nikki and I have been playing the Final Fantasy XIV Realm Reborn Early Access. We started that last night. We rolled two Dunesfolk Lalafell. So I am playing a pugilist currently.
Nice.
Hopefully monk sooner than later. And she has been playing a gladiator.
Okay.
We are on the...
Is that like warrior?
Yes, it is like warrior. They kind of split it now because you do classes before you do jobs. So it's kind of like Final Fantasy I, you know, where you've got thief turns into ninja, that kind of shit. They're taking that angle. Like once you get to level 15 with a class, then you have to level another class. And when you've got those two leveled, you can have a job.
Okay. So it's like a mix of, yeah, Final Fantasy Tactics, where you have to have the prerequisite jobs, right, and then Final Fantasy One, where you go from one to the other. I like that.
They've actually got a job system in this MMO, which I think is pretty interesting.
I like that a lot.
We wanted to get in on the Leviathan server, but that motherfucking server is full of shit, so we're on Kuril. I never know how to pronounce that monster's name. C-O-E-U-R-L.
Oh, okay.
Co-Earl.
Quirl? Co-Earl.
It's the fucking panther with the, you know, the tentacles.
The catfish whiskers. Tentacles, yeah.
So we're on there if anyone listening wants to jump on and fuck around with us. Also, I know it's a really long what we've been playing segment, but I've been playing Papers, Please.
Oh, I'm interested in playing this.
Papers, Please, I heard about on the Besties podcast. It's a game that's set in 1981, 82, and the art style is all done like a game from that era. You play a guy who runs a desk at a checkpoint between countries that are behind the Iron Curtain. And essentially, all you do the entirety of the game is people come into your office and they give you their passport and all their papers needed to enter the country. And you have to review them and approve or deny them. I know that sounds boring, but it's not, because they tell the story of a nation all from your desk. Really get to see how this nation changes, all because of you, a cog in the machine, who you decide to approve and deny into the country. So it's pretty cool. It's also got like 20 different endings.
And what is Papers, Please for?
Papers, Please is for PC and Mac.
Okay.
So it's nice to see a Mac game as well. But I bought it on Steam. I think it was like $10.
Okay.
And Nikki and I both played it and totally feel like it's worth the money. But like all things Steam, it'll probably be on sale.
Yeah, come Christmas, yeah. That's when I'll probably pick it up then. All right, out of this world.
Out of this world. Yeah. As I was playing it, I was like, Tyler is absolutely hating this experience.
I think that is putting it lightly.
As I was playing it, and I felt like such a fucking Benedict Arnold, because I was like, man, Tyler hates this game, but I fucking love this game.
I just hate cinematic platformers so much. Like, there are some racing games, few, but some racing games I get behind. There are some sports games that I get behind. Cinematic platformers, meh. I was looking into it. I was like, are there any cinematic platformers that I like?
Yeah.
I reviewed videos and shit on the internet. I found one. There is one that I like, and I played it and enjoyed it for all the reasons that weren't the cinematic platforming style, which is Limbo.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up Limbo. This game reminded me a lot of Limbo. And I know that seems backwards, but I played Limbo years ago while I never played Out of This World as a kid. But playing Out of This World, it reminded me a lot of Limbo, because everything's, well, I shouldn't say everything, a lot of things are like silhouetted in the background or foreground of this game. And for the majority of the game, I feel like you're not fighting so much as you are just running away from inevitable doom.
Yep.
Which I felt like you were doing pretty much all throughout Limbo.
I guess I just like the art style and the horror suspense that was
the horror
Limbo.
Suspense.
The horse.
The horse suspense.
The horse suspension. The that was just great.
The horse above the game.
Just the engineering that it's all horse related in Limbo was just magnificent.
The bio equine. which I guess makes complete sense, because horses are biological creatures. So I guess bio equine is kind of redundant. Before we get too far into it, Tyler, I know that Miller would be very displeased if we didn't do a little segment that I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Guys, Another World, also known as Out of This World in North America and Outer World in Japan. I don't know why this game had three different fucking names. I kind of wish they could just choose one. And by the way, why the hell did they call it Out of This World in North America when there was already a North America television show called Out of This World?
Yep.
Like, were they just hoping that, like, middle-aged moms in Walmart would get confused? And, oh, yeah. So, anyway.
Fuck you, Delphine.
It's a 1991 cinematic platformer designed by Eric Chahi. I'm probably destroying that name. He's a French dude.
Eric.
He developed it for, like you said, Delphine Software, who we know from Flashback, the other cinematic platformer that we both loved so much.
I don't know why that cinematic platformers, all of them that are on this list are all sci-fi.
Yeah, I guess there was just a chunk of them that came out around the time that were science fiction. I know you said you did some research on the genre. Have you found, like, many others that stray from...
No. They pretty much all stick to that.
The sci-fi tropes.
Yep. Except for Oddworld, but I guess that's sort of...
Which I never played.
And I didn't either. I didn't even think of it until I was watching videos about examples of current cinematic platformers, because I was like, how would you consider Assassin's Creed a cinematic platformer? But apparently no one does.
I wouldn't. The game tells a story of Lester.
Who names your main character Lester?
Lester. A young scientist who, as a result of an experiment gone wrong, finds himself in a dangerous alien world where he is forced to fight for his survival. The game was originally developed on an Amiga for the Amiga, Atari, Apple II.
The Cactus Monster.
DOS, yes.
I'm not sure where it is on the wiki, because I looked at it earlier doing research. Somebody that helped program it, it's a girl named Becky.
Okay.
And it gives her nickname. Her nickname is Burger.
Burger.
What kind of girl do you have to be for your nickname to be Burger and for it to be included on the Wikipedia page? Old Burger Becky.
Did she have a link? Was there a link to
it? Nope.
There are a few different ways I could go with this. I don't know which is the most offensive. So I'm just going to leave it alone.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
So that maybe Jess could actually promote this episode without fear of retribution from her advertisers.
Burger Becky, if you're listening, reach out to us.
Yes.
We'd love to have you on the show and know why you're called Burger.
Yes, especially if your story is as offensive as I hope that it is.
7,500 Tadpog points to who can tell us why Burger Becky is named Burger.
So yeah, cinematic platformer there, buddy.
Well, watching the intro to the game, because it's sort of a rainy day when Lester drives up to this secret base and his badass Ferrari.
Yep.
He gets out and he scans his fingerprint and the computer is like, "Oh, I see you drove here today in your Ferrari."
I know. I have it in my notes. It's like, is this product placement? Like the Ferrari like contact Delphine software is like, look, far too few middle school kids are buying Ferraris. We would really appreciate it if you'd plug us in your next game.
And then he goes in and he has like one of those weird old like Pepsi style cans where you have to rip off a section of his drinking soda just make an antimatter.
Right.
Just sitting around
the old particle accelerator.
But yeah, it's struck by lightning and then somehow Tron-esque style takes him to another world.
Yeah, you see a smoldering crater where his chair used to be. And then the next thing you know, you're in a pool of water, which I will say that I died immediately when I started playing this game.
I just sat there and watched myself just go down.
It was just like right off the bat. Yep. Because the cutscenes are pretty much seamless to a certain extent with the gameplay. So like I watched the cutscene. I thought it was a well-done cutscene, especially for a Super Nintendo game. Everything's all, you know, vector-based. Mm-hmm. So it's got this really unique art style. So I was just sitting there watching, and then, yeah, there he is in a pool of water, and I'm like, I wonder what's going to happen next. Well, what happens next is I'm supposed to play the game. Because almost immediately this tentacle comes out from the bottom of the screen and pulls me down. And I was like, oh, I wonder how he gets out. Oh, game over.
And looking over gameplay from other systems, of course, I mean, we're doing a podcast about SNES games. Clearly, we love the SNES above almost anything else. But it looks like this Shaq Fu style is the worst place to play this game. It looks like it runs much smoother on Genesis and on PC.
I automatically associate games like this with the Genesis. And that's solely because I didn't play games like this when I was a kid. And it seemed like if it wasn't a game that I played, it was for the Genesis. Like I just always assumed, that's a Genesis game.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't think it looked very good. It reminded me a little bit of Sword and Sorcery, the way Lester moves and walks, which I love Sword and Sorcery. But I don't know. I just wasn't enraptured by anything about the game's presentation.
Really?
At all.
Honestly, I'm a little biased because I instantly liked this game because Lester and I share the same body type. And that is a body type that I would like to call, for the lack of better terms, well-read. Except he got his body sitting in front of a particle accelerator, earning money to make a Ferrari, and I earned mine sitting in front of a Super Nintendo.
So okay, you're teleported, you swim up the hole, you get out, and you see this large black creature. Looks like something out of Limbo.
Donkey Kong, no. Yeah.
And then as you're walking, you see it in the background until you walk over a few screens, kind of learning how to, there are worms on the ground that kind of teach you how to kick and jump.
Yeah.
And the only way, this game, I feel like it's really slow. The only way to progress at a decent pace is to skip. Because like, you run.
Jump.
Run and jump at the same time. And essentially he's just like, he's skipping through the daisies.
Yeah. Those leeches, man, that you're talking about, the worms on the ground, mm-hmm. like that's just a great example that we talked about this in games before, but this is one of those games where everything can and will kill you.
Yep. If you don't kick it at the right time, you get that cut scene of like a sharp blade extending and scratching you.
Right.
And then you just die.
Right. Poison, I assume.
If anything touches you in this game, you die.
Right.
One hit kill. That's it.
So you get saved from Nega Donkey Kong. Because that's what this monster looks like. Just this like solid black ape.
Well, I died so many times trying to get past it because I would try to like duck under it or jump over it. And I saw that fucking cutscene of it mauling you to death so many times. And before I figured out how to run, even when I tried to run away, I couldn't run fast enough the first few times. So I bet I died 20 times just trying to get past the first challenge of the game.
Really? I breezed through that one, and yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a confession that I watched the video that was on IGN's list, because that's their video for is that first little stage. So I was like, okay, run to the left, jump on the vine. But it's very much that kind of game where it's like you have to do these specific things or you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much like and cinematic platformers have this, people have this criticism that they're pretty much choose your own adventure video games, where you have to do, if you jump on the vine, turn to page 68.
Yep.
Okay, I jumped on the vine. Okay, hold on. That kind of thing. So what happens? What, you finally got past that part.
So you jump on the vine, you swing past, and as you're running, you get back to where you were before, and there's like this big cloaked figure pacifies the shadow beast and shoots you and takes you prisoner.
Mm-hmm. Put you in a giant swinging cage.
Yep. The main race of this planet look like just these beastly mongoloids. They all look the same. They're all wearing like black wife beaters and underwear.
Uh-huh.
I'll make a Buffy the Vampire reference.
Okay.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She's not a vampire. She's
Buffy the Vampire.
Season 1's villain, the Master, it looks like it's a whole bunch of Masters.
Oh, really? I haven't watched Buffy the Vampire or Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I just thought they looked like big toes with clothes on.
You can see that.
Like their torso and head are connected. They're just a big toe and then just arms and legs coming out of that.
You're in the cage with one of those things.
Right.
And you swing left and right until the cage breaks and you fall down.
Right.
And
on a guard, crushing him.
Mm-hmm. You take his gun and then the creature says something to you.
Something like,
yeah. I watched a video, like a 5-minute video dedicated to that one line.
Can you give me the link to that?
It's like the Grumpy Gamers or something like that. And they keep a running count of how many times they say it while they play through it.
Man, all right. Well, I wish we'd have thought of that.
Well, if somebody was sending us that external capture card.
Hint, hint. So, yeah, you pick up the guard's gun that you squash. Rather, you pick up the gun of the guard you squash. And the gun's an interesting game mechanic in itself because it has 3 different fire modes.
Mm-hmm.
Just a regular shoot function, which fires a disintegration ray, essentially, which I want to pause and just say that I really like how that looks, because when you hit an enemy with it, they essentially turn into a skeleton, and then a few seconds later, that skeleton bursts into like dust particles.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that.
It reminded me of something off like on The Simpsons, Bart playing a video game, that something he would in the arcade, like,
right.
That's what would happen.
So that's the first function of the gun, which I really liked. The second function of the gun is if you hold down the fire button for a couple seconds, just a little bit longer than you would to fire a regular bolt, you form this energy shield that blocks incoming projectiles. And then if you hold it for an extended period of time, Mega Buster style, the gun will charge up and you can fire this giant bolt of plasma, essentially, which takes down enemies' shields that they've put up.
Mm-hmm. And other barriers and obstructions that are in your way. I had to start over several times because like you have to power up at one point to fire.
Yeah.
And I had just fucking around, did the big ray, and my gun was just out of battery. It would not fire.
Yeah.
So you just kind of fucked then. You just got to start back over.
That happened to me too. The gun doesn't use bullets or ammunition. It just has this static charge that eventually runs out. Unfortunately, you have no indication.
Nope.
of whether or not you're low on charge or not, which some people attribute this game to survival horror. Like they say that this game influenced modern day survival horror because of that.
Okay.
And because you're trying to manage your quote unquote ammo, you're trying to keep that charge up. So you don't want to use it puts you in a position where you only want to use your gun when you absolutely need to use your gun. Mm-hmm. And at other times you should just run the fuck away.
Yeah. That's very Resident Evil.
So I thought that was interesting.
Well, Resident Evil 1 and 2 and 3.
But mainly 1.
yeah.
Because I think even 2 got into that arena where it's like, I'm shooting a whole lot more than I was in the first game.
Ashley Shake really wants to do Resident Evil when he comes in. And he bought the remake of 1 for GameCube.
The
which
director's
has,
cut.
Yeah, has an interesting twist of if you don't light zombies on fire after you kill them, they come back much, much stronger faster. And as like, so essentially like you're kind of fucked if you're Chris, it makes it even harder because then you have to go find a way to, you can only do it, I believe, with fire rounds from your grenade launcher. And then for Jill, it's easier for Jill because she has the lighter, but you have to keep, you only have so much fluid.
Right.
So if you kill a zombie, go off screen a few times, come back, it'll be a red zombie that's extremely fast and you're just dead.
That is awesome.
So, and it includes a new thing like, right outside the mansion, you can go around to the garden, and there's a casket suspended on chains in the garden. And that's whatever. I don't know what's in there. I haven't looked it up. I want to play the game.
Yeah, I do too now.
So I know there's something. There's something in there that wasn't in the first one. So
Dracula.
I'm looking forward to it. It is probably a vampire.
Buffy.
But once you get that gun, I feel like the game is a lot. Getting in a firefight with an enemy, I found to be really frustrating.
It is frustrating.
Because like fire, get up your shield, you know, try and get close enough, keep moving back and forth and firing. And, you know, they go through your shield a lot quicker than you go through theirs.
Right.
And there's one part, as soon as you get the gun and then you're running off, that your friend is trying to activate the elevator. And then you have to shoot down an enemy that's coming at you.
Right.
Oh, I died so many times trying to do that.
I did too. This game is hard.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard.
Make no bones about it. I think this game is difficult.
Saving grace is that it's short.
It is short. Did you finish it?
I did finish it.
I finished it as well.
I pulled out the majority of my teeth just to find relief in that pain.
You know, I didn't want to mention that you were
you're
pretty much toothless.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah,
my wife likes me toothless.
Yeah, I like that it was short too. I felt like it was the length was just right
for the challenge. Like I've seen speed runs. I watched some speed run videos after the fact, and people would beat it very, very quickly. A guy taking his time but not making any mistakes could beat it in like 28 minutes.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking as I was playing it, because each time I get past a stage. Or I shouldn't say stage because there's not really stages. There's just screens. Once I bypass a really difficult screen, I would think to myself, you know, now that I know how to do this, I bet if I could pull it off mechanically that I could probably finish this game in no time.
Yeah. I think the speed run was like 10 minutes maybe.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I thought that out of all the cinematic platformers that we've played, I feel like this was the most cinematic. Mainly the reason I say this is because I think the music really served well in this game, because it's not noticeable at all when nothing is happening. But like when you're in a firefight in a corridor, the music changes, they ramp it up, it gets louder. It's not your typical game where you've got, you know, level 1 music and then level 2 music. The game felt like it was scored.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly care for the music itself, but I thought the use of the soundtrack was well done.
Yeah, we can agree on that point. But because I dropped my controller and had to walk away and walk outside and just hands behind my head and just walk around for a while. Several times. Is
that
why
you came over to my house and kicked that box I've got in the
He's like, give me the Leighton box, man.
The Leighton box.
But it does have a very forgiving password system to where after, I guess, 4 or 5 cinematic puzzles, it'll give you, you know, your password will go to different chapters where you can go back and repeat.
And there's checkpoints to where you don't have to enter the password. I thought that was a really nice part of the game is if you get to a point where you would get a password, whenever you die, you automatically restart from that point instead of all the way at the beginning.
Yep. I found it very handy whenever you have to go underground in the cave and there's where you're having to avoid rocks that are dropping on you.
Yeah, that's another
That was part. I think that was the worst part of the game.
Yeah,
it's that was terrible. Part. Like your timing has to be like it was worse than that the Sparkster timing trying to get past that flood.
Yeah.
Because it has to be so perfect. And then of course if you just so much as glance a rock, dead, start over.
Yeah, and it also doesn't help that I felt the same way about this game's controls as I have about all the other cinematic platformers we've played. I feel like the controls of this game were mushy.
Mm-hmm.
And it also felt like they took the approach where it's like, eh, you pretty much do everything with one button if you want to. Because sometimes I would go to jump, but if I was holding up when I tried to jump, I would fire my blaster.
Yep.
That would fuck everything up, of course. I'd have to restart. So I didn't like that approach where it's like, let's just make all the buttons pretty much you can do anything with them.
Because I remember sitting at that, watching those rocks come down, waiting for them to sink up, and then go to like, okay, I'm going to run. And I'd take 2 steps to walk, then pull out my gun, and just get squashed by the rocks. It's like, oh, fuck, I hate these cinematic platformers.
Yep, you have to push the D-pad before you hold down the button to run. Otherwise, you're pretty much going to jump to wherever you want to go.
I hated it, but I beat it. It was good that we had a shorter game this week for me, because I hardly had any time. That being said, if I was a kid and bought this game for $60, I would have been pissed.
Really?
Because I just don't feel like there's buying it nowadays really cheap. You know, I feel like you're playing in your spare time. I feel like now it's good.
Yeah.
Then, back then when games were super expensive and it was rare to get a Super Nintendo game, you might get one every few months. I would have been pissed.
I think I really would have been impressed with the graphics. The graphics, Mom. Look at the graphics. I think I really would. Because that vector style is pretty much the grandfather of polygonal modeling.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, I think I would have been impressed with it as a kid. I probably would have been frustrated, and I probably never would have beaten it as a kid, mainly because, you know, I couldn't even get past like the first 3 screens of flashback. I don't know how the fuck I would have handled this.
How often would you say you got games as a kid?
Whenever I bought them.
Okay.
So not very, because I had to buy my own games. So I would have to save up for probably 6 months to buy a game.
So you had a weekly allowance?
Mm-hmm.
What was your weekly allowance?
$5.
Yeah, it's a lot of saving up.
And the only reason I say 6 months is because I would save for 6 months and then use birthday money in conjunction with my weekly allowance.
Ugh.
My dad really did not want me to have video games. Like, it was a defiant step when I bought my Super Nintendo.
I didn't get allowance as a kid. So it was like birthdays and Christmases for when I got games. Or if there was one, every now and then, if there was something I would just go crazy about, Mom and Dad would get it for me.
Yeah.
But I remember I used to save, I wouldn't eat at lunch. And
yep,
that was like $2.25. So I would pocket that $2.25 and I would save that to go and get a game.
Yeah.
But it was difficult because I'd have to find a way to get it without my parents knowing and then slip it into my collection without them.
Would they check your collection periodically?
No, I was pretty much safe. If I was able to like go with like
smuggle
Josh to a Toys R Us,
yeah,
pull that slip. I love going in Toys R Us where I had the wall and then the tags of all the games, you pull that off and go and present it. Just the feeling of walking out with the shrink wrap package Super Nintendo game and then have to open it. Josh and I would pour through the instruction booklet on over the game, and then I don't have any cases because, of course, I have to throw away the case, throw away everything, and then get in. Yep.
I did the same thing. I figured that I could make a lot more money not eating lunch than I could with my weekly allowance. So yeah, I would do that a lot too.
I think the best experience of that was actually going with Shake to go and get a game.
Toys R Us?
To Toys R Us. He bought Earthbound. The case for Earthbound is enormous because it comes with the strategy guide. So that was the best.
Yeah, if you like poring over instruction manuals, then...
God, the Earthbound guide is just... It is still the best written player's guide.
Really?
Ever.
Why is that?
It's funny, and it's written... Every chapter is written like a newspaper, and then it's got little jokes and stuff inside it. It's... Oh, man. And then in the back of the scratch and sniff stickers.
Okay.
So that you could... It was all the enemies, and some smelled good, some smelled bad, and there was the mystery one you would scratch and smell, and if you sent in with the correct guess of what the mystery smell was, they would send you back. It's worth a lot of money now, an Earthbound air freshener.
What was it?
I think it was pizza.
Pizza.
It smelled sort of like a fart.
Okay. So a lot of kids guessed fart.
A lot of kids guessed that. Because it was just gas, the cutout picture in the back. So I bet a lot of kids got that, but I believe it was pizza.
Correct answer was pizza fart. We're looking for pizza fart.
And the air freshener is shaped like the pizza delivery man from Earth. You have to go to payphones and order pizza, and he'll show up and give you. So it's worth like $85 now, I think, on eBay.
All right.
All right, out of this world.
Out of this world.
I feel like I should mention, for anybody that hasn't, they're like, out of this world, what is that? They mentioned the TV show.
Yeah.
The TV show was the girl that was an alien who, whenever she touched her fingers, it would freeze time.
Yeah, which I know only from looking up the intro for the show notes.
I watched it a lot when I was little. We would talk about it at school, how hot she was and how good the show was. And her dad was a crystal that she would talk to at night.
Really?
We talk about Out of This World, of course, Power Rangers, and that Nickelodeon show with the koalas.
Yeah, the Noozles.
Is it Noozles?
Snooze, the Snuggles. The something-oles.
I remember it getting trippy toward the end.
Yeah.
But we talk about that a lot, too. That was popular.
So what, did she and Superman share a dad?
I think so. She got the short end of the powers.
Like, wait a minute. I'm talking to my son. Okay. Now we can talk.
I got this bitch who can just, all she can do is freeze time. So we'll talk to her every now and then at night.
She's got all the fucking time in the world. I guess Superman could just spin the world back around him too. So
that's true. Of course, I don't think she could ever harm anybody, because if she ever touched anybody while time was frozen, they would unfreeze.
They would unfreeze. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of like a shitty rogue.
Yep. But she could basically stop accidents from happening if she was quick enough. That was her superpower.
Do you think that, like, the creators of the universe, like, put that clause in so they're like, you know, someone could really use this power and abuse it to, like, molest people? Like, okay, well, here's the deal. If they touch them, they unfreeze.
So you get, like, a half-second gooter grope before you're caught.
Did you just touch my dick? No, I didn't.
Why is nobody else moving? Imagine the game out of this world, and you progress through, you and your friend.
Your buddy, your alien buddy.
Mm-hmm. And you guys, you flood a cave to float back up to the main entrance.
Yes, you have to swim and not drown through this tunnel system, which also gets frustrating when the controls aren't that great.
Yeah.
Because I drowned many times, not because I didn't know what I was doing. I just couldn't get the game to do what I wanted it to do. Mm. Like, you need to swim up, Lester. Up. Let's do it again. And then, like, it's timed very tightly. So it's like, I would know, like, if I pressed up and he didn't swim up immediately, I was dead. Like, yep. I was just... Might as well restart, because...
Because once you then progress through, get back up, continue running to the right through the alien fortress, and you end up in what looks like Agrabah as you're running and jumping. You have to jump on, like, the overhanging or whatever, like Aladdin does when he jumps down, going up.
There is a scene, when you talk about the awnings, it reminded me. The awning, was it made of the alien skin? Because it's the same exact color. There's this scene where you're running towards this gap that is just obviously too wide for you to jump. And your alien buddy grabs you and tosses you over. And then he tries to make the jump himself. And he grabs onto an awning, that I swear is like the same color as his skin. The first time it happened, I was horrified because what happens is he jumps, he grabs onto the awning, and it like stretches out.
He looks like Stretch Armstrong when he's hanging from the ledge.
Like it happened, and I was just like, oh, what happened? Like I thought he died. Like I thought he like maybe hit his head on a nail or something and like stretched his skin out or something. That's so I guess I could say that's a good point of this game is I actually cared about Alien Buddy. Mm-hmm.
Silent Baru, Alien mm-hmm. Buddy. Cataplaws, something. I can't remember. But then you go through Agrabah.
Yes.
You find another alien. I don't know, apparently they had to censor it because you crash through a bathhouse.
A Harlem, yeah.
And apparently for the SNES.
Harlem, not a Harlem.
You crash through Harlem.
You crash through Harlem. In this weird
Al Sharpe was like, what the fuck this kid doing here?
Yeah, I heard this story as well. There's too much butt crack.
They had to shorten the butt cracks by three pixels. Yeah.
Thanks, Nintendo, for looking out for us.
And like the Venus flytraps look like they drip blood from their mouths, so they had to change that.
I read that, but where the fuck were the Venus flytraps?
I guess they just took them out completely in the SNES version.
Because I know there were those like pit of sarlacc creatures on the ground that you would step on, and I know there were like those tentacle monsters that would hang from the mm-hmm. top. But I don't remember any Venus flytraps.
I don't know. I guess they just like, these look like they have blood. Take them out. Get them out. Shorter butt cracks, no plants. Shortly after that, you find a static recharge station for your gun.
Right.
You started getting into a lot more firefight after that because there are way more aliens here. And that's when like you start noticing they have this rolling bomb
power. These grenades that they roll at you. Which there's a part in the game where I actually had to look up what the fuck I was doing wrong, because there's a part in the game where you have to utilize an alien rolling those grenades at you in order to open up a new part of the area. And it's on a completely different screen and everything. Like, I was stuck because I could not figure it out. Yeah, turns out you have to provoke this alien to roll a grenade down a flight of stairs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that reminds me, because it was a difficult puzzle. It's like, why would you... I remember looking up a Sierra game with like the most notoriously difficult puzzle of all time.
Leisure Suit Larry.
I forget what the game was, but it's a old Sierra game, and you go into a house, and the only clue is it's all backwards, and like it's like a loom that spins gold inside the house and stuff like that. So it's set up to be the Rumpelstiltskin tale. So you think. When you have to put in a word, you think it's Rumpelstiltskin backwards.
Okay.
Whenever they re-release this
but
game.
It's LLA. Because it's all backwards.
All backwards. You're not far. You're not far off.
It's like a Gary Gygax riddle or some shit.
It is. It's fucking awful because what you have to do is reverse the entire alphabet and then put it. So like you write down Rumpelstiltskin, reverse the alphabet, and then correlate the letters to be the reflections of what they would be backwards.
Nope, not doing it.
And then put that in backwards.
Nope, not doing it.
So it ends up being like Nisnilla Snock.
I can't even understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Let alone, I don't think I could do this.
I think I saved it. I'll send it to you and we'll put it in. Or if anybody remembers that game.
Please, but, I'm sure someone will.
Yep. Then it's you going through increasingly difficult puzzles through their lair more and more. You get trapped in a corner at one point after running from all sorts of these aliens and after throwing up tons of shields to get under a grate for your friend who you lost whenever he jumped. He finally comes back, busts open the grate, and pulls you through the ductwork system.
A very cinematic moment, I must say. You eventually get to one of my favorite parts in the game. I'm maybe jumping ahead a little bit. Probably am, but fuck it. You eventually get to a spacecraft, like a small spacecraft that you and Alien Buddy sit in, and you launch. And what happens is you wind up in this alien arena where you see like these alien gladiators fighting in the background, and then blomp, there's your spacecraft. And they just start like lobbing grenades and shooting and like firing missiles at you. And meanwhile, you're inside and there's all these buttons. And what you do is you essentially use the D-pad to move your finger and you just like randomly start pressing buttons until eventually you hit the eject. I thought that was the most fun part of the game because it was just like, The music is really like da 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 da, and you're like, oh, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Like buttons are turning red and green. You're like, I don't fucking know. And then eventually, after dying five times, you get it, and then the game returns.
You
back.
Have to you have to put in "Help me, Rhonda."
Oh, little short circuit too. Callback, yeah.
Help me, Rhonda.
When I was doing that in that sequence, I was actually curious if it correlates to the very beginning of the game because Lester has to enter a security code.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't done the research. There probably is no correlation, but if there is.
That would be good. That would be good. One alien won't quit chasing you.
Red
one
eyes.
Of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And
red eyes.
Yeah. You get through to the end. There's like a lever and the red-eyed one fatally wounds you.
Yeah, first of all, like kicks you off a ledge.
Yeah.
He kicks you off a ledge and then, I'm sorry. That's what happens when you don't do it right. Like I did about a million times. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. Yeah. He, like you said, he wounds you and you're just little Lester and these guys are huge. And he pretty much kicks the shit out of you until Alien Buddy comes to your rescue.
And drops down. They're wrestling and you have to slowly crawl over. It's torturously slow.
It's torturously slow, but it's also, I was excited because it was one of those where I was like, man, I was fucking slamming down on the button. Of course it didn't make any difference, but the first time going through, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, they've got that music. It's da-na-na-na, it's going and it's like, fuck. And I'm like trying to hit the turbo on the motherfucking B button. Tangent here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The sound when Alien Buddy and Red Eye are fighting, that sound of them like hitting each other is just really disturbing. It's probably like the most accurate hitting sound at the Super Nintendo game because it does sound like someone like took raw chicken out of the fridge and just slapped it.
I was thinking you were going to have to pull out your gun and kill one of them. And it was hard to keep track because they were flopping over each other over and over and over again.
You've got that mischance.
Yep.
You're firing in the melee.
Yeah. Well, you pull the lever and I forget, how does Red Eye die?
Well, Red Eye eventually knocks Alien Buddy off of him.
Mm-hmm.
The music is going. And he turns towards you and starts walking towards you. And then you pull the lever over on the side and it opens up this hatch in the ceiling where this beam comes out and pretty much disintegrates his ass.
Okay.
And then...
That was on Ambien when I finished this game.
Awesome. Probably made it better. And then what happens is I thought I died here because I was like, yes, I did it. And then the lasers start shooting from the ceiling and just died. So I had to do it all over again. And what you have to do once you disintegrate his ass is pull the lever again and it opens up this escape hatch. Then you have to crawl backwards as lasers are shooting at you from the ceiling and get to the middle. And then that's where you finds out that little hatch is a teleporter.
Mm.
You teleport up, an Alien Buddy teleports up with you and sets you on a red pterodactyl.
Yep.
And you and he, like Falcor style, just fly across the world.
The end.
The end. So, Tyler, do you have any achievements for this game?
I do.
I don't, so I'll have to come up with one.
So I've got
talk
two.
Slowly.
My first one is a callback to what many say is the worst Super Nintendo game.
Shaq Fu?
Lester the Unlikely.
Lester the Unlikely. That was a Super Nintendo game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For some reason, I thought it was a Nintendo, regular Nintendo game.
Am I wrong? I thought it was... I could be wrong.
I might be thinking of the Uncle Fester game for Nintendo.
I played the shit out of that. Yeah.
I think that's what I'm confusing it with.
Which Lester the Unlikely is to win without dying.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck, man. Yeah. I like that. That's a really good name for that one.
And then my second one is Off to Take the Iron Throne. Which is you beat the game and you on this dragon creature, you guys are off to Westeros to take the Iron Throne.
We need a recut of this ROM. We need it hacked so that when you teleport up to the dragon that you take off on, Lester just goes, "Where are my dragons?" The only thing I've been able to come up with in the time that you've given your two achievements is A Whole New World. That is a take on the name of the game and the whole awning situation that you've talked about referencing to Aladdin. So in order to get a whole new world. It's impossible to get, by the way. You have to jump and hit both awnings in succession and not die. It's not a possible achievement,
you
guys.
You can't do it.
So don't even try it.
It's like the Wayne's World level. You can't beat, kid. Just keep bumping in the quarters.
Noah's Arcade.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Hold on. I'm too excited talking about Out of This World / Another World.
/ Outer World.
Yes. Need to bring it down. Tyler, if you were to take Lester's clean, smooth baby face that he and I both share and slap a beard on that.
Because he has no whites in his eyes, just blue dots.
Well, I figured that's because that's part of his ninja style.
Okay.
What kind of beard would you apply to Lester?
Well, before I reveal my beard, Dave, there's something I want to do.
Okay.
Since our opinions on this game are so dramatically different.
Are they? I didn't pick up on that. They're different.
A little bit.
You seem pretty optimistic.
I would like to do a tadpog first.
Okay.
And that...
We fight to the death.
We split the beards and glasses into our... what each of us bring to the table.
Oh, God. Okay.
So I have a beard prepared.
So what you're saying is you didn't bother coming up with glasses.
I did not, because I wanted to say I think you should do the glasses because we have two very different opinions.
Oh, fuck. I'm not prepared for this, but yeah. Okay, I'm in.
Did you watch the movie Beetlejuice?
Yeah, I watched the movie Beetlejuice. I've got it on Blu-ray if you want to watch it when we're done recording.
In Beetlejuice, there's a scene at the end where Beetlejuice is trying to marry Lydia, and Beetlejuice ages
Lydia Deetz.
Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
And they are both in their wedding.
And Gina Davis.
Ages them both, and they're on the ground, and they're trying to say Beetlejuice. Alec Baldwin looks up, and he opens his mouth to try and say Beetlejuice, and his jaw falls off.
Right.
That is what I give this game as far as beards.
That's not a beard.
The lack of a jaw. Dave.
Yes. Yes, Tyler.
If you were to give this game, say, some kind of protective eyewear that can overcome the evolutionary trait that we have bred into ourselves as humans, what would you give this game?
Okay. I have given it all of 30 seconds of thought, and what I've come up with is I would give this game the badass green visor that is apparent in every generic sci-fi film or comic book. It seems like everyone's always wearing this green visor of the 90s, of course. Let's go ahead and throw that caveat in. I would give it that because, like you said earlier, the cinematic platformer is totally the realm of the sci-fi. And it's badass, just like this game is badass. But a little dated. And you probably wouldn't wear it out in public and expect to get laid.
You don't mean to go to the club, come home. Hey, girl, I'm going to show you this game. This game's badass.
I don't know if that would be an amazing thing or a horrible thing.
You went out
to the club.
You beat it in 30 minutes and make her watch it for 30 minutes and then just drop the controller like you're dropping the mic.
The way that you phrase that is awesome, because you could take it that she watches you beat it for 30 minutes. I think we had some people call us, Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
You want to hear from them?
Yeah, I do very much.
Hi, this is Josh, not of Uniracer's fame, but of Infamous. 994 fame, and I was hoping to reach Dave or Tyler. Instead, I got a lot of, you know, rings and then fucking tadpog. So I'll leave my message. Here's the thing: it's Wednesday. It's 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Daylight Time, and I have a tadpog episode to listen to and a Dexter episode to watch, and I'm totally picking tadpog. I'm absolutely 100% going for tadpog. So don't let me down. I know the show, I've downloaded it. It's 90 minutes. I'm looking forward to 90 minutes of greatness while I eat my dinner. So anyway, that's it. Hope you guys are great. And if you're not, I will call in next week. Bye.
This is a brave gentleman to listen to our show while he eats dinner. Because specifically the episode he's referencing is the one where I think we, no exaggeration, spent 20 minutes telling a story of rubbing semen on a carpet and projectile vomiting.
See, Josh, I know Josh from seminary, And Josh was one of the few people that while we were at seminary, that I could tell the worst stories and he would never flinch.
Really?
Always laughed. A lot of people,
so he's our ideal listener, is what you're saying?
Yes, he is our ideal listener. He and I guess Blake, that fucking asshole.
Of Blackthorn fame?
Of Blackthorn fame. Of Ultimate Heel fame.
So metal.
But yeah, Josh Edwards is always on board for whatever gross thing I could dish out. I had one girl that we were Facebook friends. Graduation day, she unfriended me. She was just waiting to never have to see me ever again.
You want to put her on blast?
I'm still friends with her husband. So.
Oh, okay. So now then. All right. Well, as soon as he unfriends you, it's a free-for-all. I'm honored that we were chosen over Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you made the right choice, Josh, but I'm glad that you made the choice you did.
I'm current on Dexter, and I think he did. I'm digging the latest. This is the last season of Dexter. I like it, but I don't think it's great. Last season I thought was excellent.
I stopped watching when they introduced Edward James Olmos.
I love that season.
Is it good? I stopped watching it mainly because. Maybe I should save this for an intro, but maybe not because it's really boring. I don't like hour-long shows. I just don't. If I'm spending an hour watching a television show, I'd rather put 30 more minutes and watch a movie. That's how I feel about it.
Mm, okay. I can see that. I'm hard-pressed, unless it's something I really want to go see, for me to even go to the movies.
Yeah.
So I like HBO and Showtime hour-long shows.
Yeah.
If it's an hour-long show that's a network show, I'm less likely to watch it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because, I mean, I like watching Game of Thrones and stuff like that.
Well, there's BBC Sherlock, which is as long as a movie.
But see, I'm totally fine with that because they feel like movies almost.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah. Josh mentions hearing fucking Tadpog. That's our voicemail intro.
We've never addressed it before.
No, never, ever. And no one's ever brought it up until right now.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go ahead and plug the phone line. If you want to hear fucking Tadpog, what you need to do is call 270-883-2555 and leave us a voicemail. It seems like more people are listening to the show. I'm sure that maybe 80% of it is probably Josh's mom.
Yeah.
If you're a new listener, call us and ask us a video game related question.
Mm-hmm. Or Golden Girls related question, or a would you rather, or...
Specifically, if you could craft a question that encapsulates Golden Girls, would you rather in video games? We've had some callers come close.
I feel like we should explain why it says fucking Tadpog.
Yes.
Because I wrote, we went under the George Costanza answering machine.
Right.
And I had written a little thing to sing into it about
Believe
Tadpog.
It or not.
I don't remember where it is. Yeah.
Tadpog isn't at home. Please leave a message. I don't know. Something like that.
It'd be good for the show notes.
Yeah.
And then, but Google Voice only gives you like 2 seconds to record
ridiculous.
Your...
ridiculous.
So you got mad and said, fucking Tadpog, I'm leaving it. That's it.
Never to be changed again.
Nope.
I think someone else called us, Tyler.
Mm.
Hey, Tadpog. This is Tyler Dunnigan calling. Just was sitting there thinking and had a question for you guys, which actually I guess this could go for Manpog too. I'd kind of like to see how it differs between the man and the woman's perspective on it. But thinking of all of the cartoons you've watched as kids and I guess video games as well, if you could pick one aspect or concept of the particular program or game that you're thinking of, what one aspect would you really like? For instance, with me, whenever I first watched Dragon Ball Z whenever I was younger, I thought that the power level that each character has, I just thought that was amazing, and I would have given anything if real life would have had that. So what would that be for you guys? Like I said, cartoon, video game, anything basically fictional like that. Also, I would just like to show my appreciation for Model Land. I can't believe I won. And really, I guess, excited to get that, and so I can just dive right in. Anyways, thanks a bunch, and keep doing the show. Loving it. See you guys later.
just dive right in.
I love that guy.
Try that again.
Of Madden NFL fame.
Madden 94 fame, yep.
So, come on. Come on, Dunnigan. You're slipping. You're supposed to plug yourself. For that, we'll send you another copy of Model 1.
So, do you want me to go first? Do you have one?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll go first because I don't have an answer. Okay. But I've got his little story. And hopefully it will suffice. Because I hadn't thought about it, Tyler Dunnigan, until you called. I hadn't thought about this for the longest time. But I think the first erection that I ever got was from Daphne in Scooby-Doo when I was in kindergarten. That was one of those situations where I didn't know what to do with it, so I just pressed it up against the couch until it went away.
Well, I would like to be able to, like, you know, like you have your ICQ chat log, so you could check your history.
Uh-huh.
I very much wish that I could pull up my chat log from anybody in my life and look at everything I've ever said.
Like Phoenix conversation. Right their ass.
Yeah, yeah. Find the inconsistencies in their testimony. No, just to look back, like, oh, when's the last time I talked to her? And then see date, time, what was said, and just, I'd like to be able to see, yeah, chat logs. Or
I just imagine this scenario where, like, 15 years later, you're calling this girl who's now married and has two kids, and you're like, you promised me a hand job on June 9th, 1998. Never got it. I'm coming over.
I do know one girl. She likes the show on Facebook. I'm sure she does not listen, but she did promise me a blowjob on Tater Day, like our freshman year of high school.
Okay, I'm familiar with Tater Day. Yeah. But some of our listeners may not be familiar with Tater Day.
I think that's an anecdote for another show.
Because as of right now, everyone just assumes it's a blowjob festival, and let's leave it at that.
I mean, they're not totally wrong. I'd also, anime-wise, I think having a Death Note would be pretty awesome.
What is that?
The anime is about a guy who he's walking outside of his school and finds a notebook that just says Death Note on it. And he opens it up and it has some rules inside of it that whoever's name, if you can picture their face in your mind and you write their name on the Death Note, they'll die. So you can write out how they die, when they die, up to 45 minutes is the max you can push it. And if you don't specify their cause of death, they die of a heart attack. And this guy starts playing God to bring justice to the world. Like, he takes the Death Note home. He doesn't really believe. He's like, this is bullshit. And
he's like Batman meets Odin.
Yep. He's watching like an elementary school shooting. And it shows the guy like in the window and he has a gun up to somebody's head and it says his name. So then Light, who is the main character, is like, all right, well, let's see. And he looks at the guy, writes his name down, and then waits 30 seconds, and the guy dies of a heart attack. Huh. So then he goes through all these prisoners, all these people who've escaped, or people that were clearly guilty but got off.
Uh-huh.
Like, he just starts cleaning house.
So what you're saying is you want a blowjob note.
Yep. I can specify who and when, how they give it to me. And if I don't specify, it just goes in their mouth.
If that's not what you were going to say, then I'm going to go ahead and steal that for me.
Death Note, Blake and I used to watch it. Last time while he was in, we watched a lot of it. So that's an anime I recommend to everybody to watch. Death Note is so, so, so good.
I've heard it. You and Shake have both recommended that to me so many times. Mm-hmm. And I just haven't watched much anime at all in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. If I decide to get back into it, I'll start with that.
Death Note and the reboot of Full Metal Alchemist.
Brotherhood.
They're both, fantastic. Because Brotherhood is straight from the manga. So there's no filler. The stories, a quarter of the way through, the story completely changes. So
it's better then.
There are a few aspects that I like about the original.
Uh-huh.
But overall, I think Brotherhood is better.
Okay. Got another call.
All right.
What's up, Ted Log? It's Yuki's cousin. My question I have this week is, if you and 99 other people chosen at random had to face off in a skills challenge of some sort, where the winner of the skill challenge head-to-head lives and the loser died, what skill would you choose to pit against the 99 other people to bet your life on? All right, I'll be listening.
Give giving myself a hand job to completion. No one does it better.
Man, we are on the same page. So that was an easy one. Next.
It's like, what skill do you think I'm really good at that I would pit my life against 99 other people? I don't think I'm that confident in anything.
Well, 99, that's not a whole lot of people you got to compete with.
No.
And it's not to say that they've also chosen this skill. So you can probably go ahead and assume that maybe 50% of them are shit at it.
Yeah.
So you're really only competing with 48 people. Mm-hmm. So
maybe back squats.
Okay. Back squats. What are back squats?
You have the barbell on your back and you squat.
Okay. That's not just what's a squat squat?
A squat would just be bringing your butt below your knees with proper form. And then a back squat is the way it's on your back. A front squat is where it's in the front. Overhead squat is it's over your head. I know what Jacob's would be.
Fighting wolves.
I'm going to say going down on girls. That is a skill I've heard him talk about to no end about how amazing he is. So any listener, you're looking.
Welcome for the plug, Jacob. Yep. We're trying to help you out. Jacob's going to be at Dragon Con with us.
So listener, if you're looking to just get it good.
Get eaten the fuck out. Let us know. Yeah, it's difficult because what skill? I guess I'm not really good at anything, cousin.
I think a design contest, because I think you're an amazing designer.
It depends on who else is in the...
Just 99 other people.
All right, we'll go with design then, I guess. That's it. That's all the people who call us.
No Lord Mike with a would you rather?
No would you rather.
Oh, Lord Mike.
I don't know.
Womp womp.
I don't know.
I hope he's not dead.
I know.
I got people to thank.
You have people to thank?
Mm-hmm. So for Facebook shares... The Silent Lord Mike of Purdue.
Thank you.
Josh Nance, Nicole Nance, Matt Barger, and Eli. For tweets, Tony, Kid Samson, Jacob, and Laura Ammons.
Blowing up on Twitter.
That is the closest our Facebook shares have been to tweets.
If anyone out there wants to follow us on Tadpog, you can at Tadpog_podcast.
So kind words, Josh Edwards. I saw he posted kind words on the Tadpog.com site on the Pipeless episode. For contributing, I think they were all music-related posts, Wiley, Matt Barger, and Josh.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of good stuff on the Facebook page.
And eerily silent, Lord Mike of Purdue.
What?
Next week, I expect two would-you-rathers make up for it. And congrats to Sam from Megalixir for beating the first level of Jungle Strike.
Yeah, really. I still think he was probably put together in a lab.
Yes.
In order to do it.
To make great video game music and beat Jungle Strike.
Hey, man. If that's your version of Weapon X, then all right. Guess you take what you get. I actually wanted to mention a Kickstarter project that I think our listeners might be interested in. Mm-hmm. I know I'm really excited about it. You may have heard of it. It's called Project Phoenix. It's a team of people who have worked on AAA titles coming together to try to fix what's wrong with JRPGs and independently develop a JRPG that is true to how they were in the early 90s when they were extremely emotional and connecting and told great stories. They're trying to stay away from pushing the technical aspect that JRPGs tend to do now and embracing the story and character aspect.
So yeah, all Final Fantasies after Final Fantasy 10?
Yeah, I mean, I would even make the cutoff.
9?
Yeah. So check it out if you get a chance. I'll have a link to it in the show notes. I'm backing the project, and I know that other like-minded people may find it interesting as well.
But thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so you don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about IGN's 68th-ranked game, Kirby's Avalanche.
Kirby!
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review, maybe win a coin.
Don't worry, guys. We will be back next week, probably.
Probably.
In the meantime, if you can't wait for more Tadpog, you can easily find us on tadpog.com. That's where all the show notes go. That's where you can actually listen to the episode when the podcast app is being bullshit. You can also find us on Facebook, like we were talking about, on facebook.com/tadpog. Tyler, our intro song is Moves by a gentleman named Sycamore Drive, who is almost impossible to find contact information for. because I want to tell him we're using this for our show, and maybe he would like the show, unless he's sensible, in which case he probably wouldn't. But either way, I feel like he should know about it. One day we'll track him down and force him to listen. In the meantime, a link to that track can be found on our show notes on tadpog.com.
Yep, we go through a lot of lamb.